Last Sunday, we heard about the meaning of the word prodigal. We learned that it's not necessarily a negative word or concept, that it means lavish, overabundant, profuse, prodigious, to use the word itself. The younger son was prodigal in that he flushed his inheritance. He literally threw it away, wasting it. The older son was prodigal in that he flushed his relationship with his dad and his brother. He threw away a relationship of love and friendship with his dad and his brother. And the father was prodigal. The father was lavish in giving all that he had to his sons, giving the inheritance to the younger, even though he knew the younger son would flush it, and then running to meet his son when he saw him coming home and giving him a party and killing Bessie and having a wonderful time. The father was a father of love, giving prodigiously, prodigally, if you will, giving lavishly to his sons. The God we serve and love, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, the creator of the universe, is also prodigal in that God gives us the unearned, undeserved, unmerited love and favor that we need to live. That was last week's message. We love and serve a prodigal God who gives lavishly even to those of us who flush the gift, who throw it away. That was last week's message. Today we're going to see another example of prodigalness, another positive example of prodigious self-giving. Here we have Mary at a meal in Bethany, Jesus there, and she takes a jar of pure nard ointment and anoints Jesus' feet with it. Pure nard. And then she wipes his feet with her hair to clean his feet off and to rub the nard in. Nard is a very expensive ointment made from the herb spikenard. It has a musky smell and a warm feel to it. When you put it on, you can feel it seeping around and through and in all the way to the bone. If you have arthritis, nard is a good thing to put on the parts of your hands or your elbows or your knees or your feet where you hurt. And living in the ancient world where you walked around in sandals, I'm sure not only did your feet hurt, but they were stinky. So the nard not only soothed your feet, they also helped them to smell better too. And they helped to heal the wounds and the bruises and the blisters of constantly walking in this world. That's what Mary did for Jesus. She took this nard and she lavished it upon his feet, bathing his feet in it, soothing them, healing them, giving to him this amazing gift. And it's an amazing gift in many ways. Firstly, the Old Testament tells us that nard is a gift given by the bride to the groom. Ooh. It's referred to in the Song of Songs as a symbol of the intimate nature of the bride's love for her groom. Wow, talk about a scandal in that world, talk about a scandal in that age. Here's Jesus, and Mary's giving him the gift that a bride would give her groom. Ooh. Scandal number one. Scandal number two. Nard's expensive. And this was a collection, a jar of nard that was worth 300 denarii. Now, that doesn't sound, I mean, you go, what's that, like $300? I mean, that's pretty expensive. I mean, you know, can't be worth that much, can it? It's kind of hard to translate value from, not just from one era to another, but from one type of monetary system to another. But take a listen to this. In the first century AD, a secretary, someone who would take dictation, would earn 15 denarii a month. A lecturer, someone who taught, would earn 12 to 20 denarii a month. A messenger, 9 denarii a month. A fortune teller, 10 denarii a month. A private in the armed forces of the Roman Empire started at 20 denarii a month. A member of the Praetorian Guard, now these were the people who defended the emperor in Rome. A member of the Praetorian Guard earned 60 denarii a month. And an officer, centurion or higher, in the Roman imperial forces would earn somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 to 500 denarii a month. A donkey would cost 125 denarii in the first century AD. In the ancient world, it's really hard to convert these figures to modern dollars. And what we normally do is when we look at something from the ancient world like this, we do our comparison based on the cost of a loaf of bread. It's a pretty basic staple. I mean, it costs money to have the wheat that goes in it. You have to prepare it. You have to bake it. There's labor that goes into that. So the entire package, what goes into the cost of a loaf of bread, is the base unit upon which we then do our conversion factors. Based on the cost of a loaf of bread as a fraction of a denarius, we can say that a denarius, that 300 denarii is worth roughly $40,000 to $45,000 in 21st century money. Let me say that again, as I don't think that really hit. This jar of ointment, worth 300 denarii in Roman money, would cost today $40,000 to $45,000. This is a lavish gift, friends. This is lavishness on a galactic scale. It's warp speed lavishness. She takes this jar and she bathes his feet in it. Now, if she were a princess or the daughter of some great merchant, you might be able to, and they were getting married, you might be able to justify it. But she's none of this. She's not his betrothed. And she's not wealthy. Not really. Not this kind of wealth. And yet she gives it without question, without blinking an eye, without even caring about what anybody else says. She gives it as an offering, a love offering to Jesus, wasting it lavishly on Christ. Now, they teach you in seminary that you're supposed to have 3 points in your sermon, and I got 3 from this one. In fact, I had to reduce the number of points. This was really simple. We are called to give lavishly to Jesus. Lavishly to Jesus. Now, I know people who say, well, you ought to be tithing. Tithe is 10% of your income. 10% of what comes into your hand. So, if you earned $1,000 this week, 10% of $1,000 is 100. That's a tithe. If you earned $100 this week, 10% of $100 is 10. If you earned $1 this week, 10%, a tithe of that is? Well, I earned nothing this week, Greg. What am I supposed to give? What's 10% of zero? However, we all pledge to support the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. 10% of your time, 10% of your talent, 10% of your gifts, 10% of your service, 10% of your witness, whatever that means, like prayers. In other words, it's not just about money. It's about giving of ourselves, of all of ourselves. There are some people who take this tithing bit and they make it into a law. You have to do it. This is what you must do. And when you go that direction, I say, I'm sorry, no. If giving for you is a must and I have to, then don't do it. If you're given because you feel as if you have to or you must to, then don't do. What we learn today from Mary is that we are blessed, graced, privileged to lavish upon God, to lavish upon Christ, these kinds of wonderful, amazing, super gifts. Not as a have to or a must do, but as a get to do. And the tithe, therefore, for normal giving, becomes sort of a limitation to keep you from giving all. You give some, a part, a portion of what we have received. Well, this is a special kind of gift, Greg. Yes, it is. A special anointing forecasting his eventual death for us all. We are called to give out of love for Jesus, love for the church, love for God, love for the calling that we all have to be in ministry. We're called to give not out of obligation, but like Mary, out of love. Lavishly, out of love. And finally, we are called to give to Jesus without regard for what other people may say. I know people who give who do not want recognition for their gift. They do not want people to know that they've given. They don't want the IRS to know that they've given. I think that's good considering things in the government. The less they know, the better. They just want to give because they want to give. They feel God has called them and blessed them with grace and called them to give of their own gifts and graces. And so they give, asking nothing in return but the opportunity to give and to serve and to witness to the love of God. Judas's response is classic. Well, that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus' response tells all, you have the poor with you always. You only have me for today. In truth, that money wouldn't have been given to the poor. In truth, sometimes it's important to give to Christ Jesus, to God, God's self, knowing that in so doing, we are giving to the poor, to the needy, to those whom God loves and cares for, to those whom God sets up the kingdom for. Oh, my sisters and brothers, we should be giving without concern for what others may think. Oh, that's a waste! If it is, how much more is God's gift of grace and love and unmerited, unearned favor and forgiveness and acceptance and inclusion? How much more is all of that a waste on us? Oh, my sisters and brothers, we are called to give lavishly, prodigiously, just as God has given to us. We're called to give back out of love. I encourage us today and always to remember that God calls us to give out of love, to give what the Holy Spirit inside calls us to give, we get the wonderful privilege of giving. Let us be a giving people. Continue to be a giving people. Giving that others might hear of the love, acceptance, inclusion of Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.